You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. A day late, but myself, Dave Kellner, and Dave Tindall are going to go through the Arnold Palmer Invitational very, very shortly. As you can imagine, busy week with the Cheltenham Festival. Apologies for this podcast being delayed 24 hours, but a warm welcome to the man sitting beside me here in the studio. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Although not backing any winners at Cheltenham so far.
likewise. Last week, Adam Hadwin broke his duck on the PGA Tour. I was annoyed it couldn't come earlier in the Career Builder Challenge when he finished second, but he showed how talented he was. He showed how talented he is last week, and it was a very good performance, I thought. Patrick Cantlay came to challenge him, but made that bogey up the last, and I think Hadwin deserved to win the event.
He played very well. He had that little blip, didn't he? It was the 16th when he went in the water. But apart from that, I thought he looks like a player who'd learnt from being in contention before and did it really well. So, yeah, not a big surprise. I've backed him this year as well. So yeah. It was one of those ones that maybe if I'd just stuck with him a little bit longer. But maybe it wasn't obvious.
You can't back them every week, can you? I didn't think it was the ideal setup for him last week at the Valspar at Copperhead, to be honest. But I think you're right in suggesting that he learned a lot from being in contention at the Career Builder Challenge, because I watched, obviously, that final round at the Career Builder intently throughout, and he looked nervous and he looked tentative more than anything else. But I thought in that final round on Sunday, he grabbed the bull by the horns and he wasn't going to relax and sit back and hope to win. He went out there and pursued the title, and he got what he deserved in the end.
Yeah, it was a funny leaderboard, I guess. I guess if he'd had like a Stenson or a McIlroy or a Rose beneath him, he might have panicked. But maybe Cantlay and a few others that weren't really household names, he's thinking, I should really win this now. So he did really well, and it'll be interesting to see how he kicks on from here.
And the European Tour, SSP Chaurasia, enhanced his record in the Indian Open at a different track. Didn't see much of the event, but Twitter was alive with outrage about the quality of the course and the suitability of the course for a top-class European Tour event. Did you see any of it, much of it, none of it?
I saw quite a bit, players throwing clubs in the water, and generally, every time I watch someone on a par five, they made like six and eight and all sorts of numbers. I saw Roman Langaski threw a club in, I'd backed him. And then it's one of those ones you kind of overthink it, and you try and be clever about a new course, and all that happened was the fella who won last year won. He was a massive price, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
I think it was three figures, which is crazy, really, for someone with his record. Everyone just presumed that course.
Yeah, that course didn't
wasn't
fit
for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was that big. I know he was nibbled at on the Monday. I think people that just look at event form just migrated towards Chaurasia. But there was that dispute all week about how long the golf course was.
Yeah.
And it played to about 7,000 yards on the
last day. It was just over 7,000 yards. And so that is complete misinformation, isn't it? We can only go off what the European Tour was saying. It's a 7,600-yard monster, hence why people didn't want to back him.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get stuck into this week. We've got the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour, just the one event. And Rory McIlroy is the 11-2 favourite here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson, 8-1. Hideki Matsuyama and Jason Day, both 14s. Ricky Fowler, 16-1. Justin Rose is 18-1. Brant Snedeker, Paul Casey, Thomas Peters, all 33-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. It seems that this event has taken on extra significance, given it's the first renewal since the death of Arnold Palmer, who's widely regarded as changing the state of the game from a monetary standpoint and allowing these PGA Tour professionals to live in the style to which they're accustomed. The field maybe not as strong as it might have been, but there's still four of the top five in the official World Golf Rankings playing this week. And as ever, the tournament is played at Bay Hill, an event which Tiger won eight times at the track. And inexplicably, Matt Every won back-to-back in 2014 and 2015, while Jason Day won last year. In the lead-up to the event, all the talk has been about Arnold Palmer and the relationship some of these players had with him, and how much of an influence he was on some of the players' careers as well. So it's going to be an interesting week from that perspective, where the I'm sure the winner will say he was inspired this week at the when the closing ceremony comes on Sunday. Is it something you factor into your bets or not?
Possibly. It's not the overriding factor, but it can add a little bit to your argument, I guess. I mean, there's a few of the guys I've read stuff like their kids were born in the Arnold Palmer Hospital, you know, in Orlando.
Right.
A few of the Europeans who now make Orlando their base. So little things like that. And yeah, it will be strange not seeing him kind of waiting behind the final green, because that was such a big part of this tournament.
The course underwent renovation prior to 2015. The fairways and the greens were relayed with Bermuda. And since then, scoring has improved significantly. Matt Every, I mentioned him, he won with 19 under par in 2015. Last year, Jason Day recorded 17 under par. If we're talking statistics here, which are most relevant with regards to Bay Hill in your mind?
Well, given those changes, obviously Arnold Palmer, in his image, he would want to reward attacking play and lots of birdies, and I think he's got the course to where that is now. And yeah, I would look at birdie average as one of my key stats this week, definitely. That would be something I'd look for. I know you think length is a big, big factor.
I do. I think distance off the tee is definitely relevant around this course this week. And I agree with you, attacking play, birdie average. And I think Tiger Woods won here eight times. Par five scoring, I think, is very important. You've got to take care of the par fives. And we know that throughout Tiger's career, that was his one of his biggest assets, wasn't it? Being able to dominate those par fives. I think that's definitely relevant this week. And it's more of a typical Floridian golf course than Copperhead last week as well. So look at state form, I think.
Yeah, well, I would look at, I know there's been changes, but I would look at course form a lot. You say about Tiger winning it eight times, Matt Every winning it back to back. Now, when I first joined William Hill back in the day, and Mike, who's not here with us because he's too busy with Cheltenham, obviously, we had a little golf betting syndicate, and one of the first names I put up was Lauren Roberts in this event. He was the defending champion.
Yep.
When I say put up, I just mean it was my turn to pick, and I picked him. And he won at 50-1, so that's always put it in my mind that this is a course where previous course form definitely counts. And do you know as well, I dreamt the result.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned this on a podcast in previous years. I don't think it was last year, but maybe the year before that you dreamt the result.
I was sort of fishing around for thinking, well, who am I going to put up for the syndicate? And I dreamt that Lauren Roberts had won. And it's and I've tried so hard to replicate what I ate that night, and it's never been repeated. So I'll try again. But unfortunately, I didn't have a dream the night before this podcast.
That's a shame. That would have been good.
I did have a dream, but it wasn't to do with
Well,
golf.
We delayed it a day just so you could have an extra sleep, Dave, and it's not worked out.
No, I was trying to force it and it wouldn't.
I've got one pick.
I've got two picks
okay.
for me.
You lead us off then.
Yes. I'm going to go with Justin Rose.
I really like him. Yeah. If I was having two picks, he'd be my second selection.
Yeah, I do like course form in this event, as I've said. And Rose has got four top tens in the past. He's had a second place, 2013. He's had a third as well. Four top 15s in his last five starts there. He's an Orlando resident, so he's got the connection with Arnold Palmer as well, having moved there in recent times. He's actually said that sometimes it's a throwaway line, isn't it? I like to sleep in my own bed. But he's actually pointed out when he does, he plays well, and you look at his results and he does. There was another event, the Disney, that was held not far from there, and he used to play well in that one as well. So he does enjoy being at home. He knows how to handle the extra distractions. So he's got the course form, he's at home, he's in his comfort zone. And what I really like about him this year is the fact that he set personal bests in three of his tournaments, ones where he wouldn't always shine. That was at the Sony Open. He was runner-up there, which was a vast improvement on anything he'd done before. Then he was fourth at the Genesis, and he was also fourth at the Farmers Insurance Open. So setting PBs and not just kind of like improving to ninth. He was actually in the money with a couple of fourths in the second. So I think that's a big sign that he's playing some really good golf. I mean, he's someone who I think is going to have a big Masters again. So I think he'll really want to put down a big marker with the Masters, what, 3 weeks away?
Yeah.
So I think Rose at 18 to 1, it fits your criteria. Hits it a long, long way. He's 15th in birdie average, so I like that as well. And I just think it, of all the sort of the top names, seem to have shared the wins out between them this year. I think Rory's a bit short at 11 to 2 this week, given the fact that he's only played it twice and not been in the top 10. But Rose has got all that course form. I think 18 to 1 is okay.
Yeah, I do as well. I like him 18 to 1. He's driving the ball brilliantly at the moment. I just think he needs to be, his iron game needs to be a little bit sharper. And I think it comes down to the putting, doesn't it? But I like the fact that, as you mentioned, he is ranking 15th in birdie average, and he ranks highly in par 5 scoring and going for the green, which I like here as well.
Yeah.
That statistic on the PGA Tour website. So, yeah, I like Justin Rose a lot at 18 to 1. And if I was to pick one from the head of the betting, it would definitely be him.
Okay, good.
I'm going Jamie Lovemark. And if we'd recorded this podcast yesterday, I'd be happy with the price. As it is, I'm not that happy with the price. But 80 to 1, I've still got to stick with him because I really fancy him this week, Jamie Lovemark. He struggled to get his head in front on tour so far, but this is the perfect setup for him. He likes a track where he can score on the par fives, and he's already showcased his suitability for the venue when finishing sixth last year. And even though he's not quite shown the form he did earlier in the season when finishing sixth at the RSM Classic and fourth in the Sony Open, his performance at the Valspar last week on a course I don't think would suit him was definitely encouraging. He ranked sixth in strokes gained tee to green, ninth in strokes gained around the green, so short game in good stead at the moment as well. And he set up a load of birdie chances, but didn't put particularly well. He ranks 28th in par 5 scoring this season, and with six places on offer, I like him each way a lot. So Jamie Lovemark, 80 to 1, my selection.
Are your teeth gritted when you said 80 to 1?
Yeah, it's a little bit short, but I couldn't leave him out given how strongly I fancy him this week.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very good. Yeah, I've got one more pick, and I'm going to go for 66 to 1, Graham McDowell.
Yes.
Okay, he doesn't hit it a long way, which is, I don't think, the be all and all, end all here. I think there's plenty of players who've done well, finished in the places.
Yeah.
Who've been clusters shorter hitters. Now McDowell himself is a two-time runner-up at Bay Hill. Remember the first one back in, I think it was 2005, when he was just starting out on the PGA Tour really, so really made a good impression there. He's another one, he's moved into the Orlando region, so this is another home event for him, so he's got that on his side. I just think he's rounding into some nice form without really kind of blowing his price. I think 66 to 1 is a nice price. He's come top 15 in the last two Florida events. Now, the last one, the Valspar, he actually started with a 75, and you think, I think it was four over after four. He made a terrible start. But over his last 54 holes, he played them in just two more than winner Adam Hadwin. So, you know, he sort of went with the winner, really, though. He played just as well as the winner, or maybe you could say just as well as Patrick Cantlay, who came second. And
yeah.
I just think he's due a big week, Graham McDowell. Lots of good finishes in Florida. He's had four top 15 in his last seven starts. So it is an area where he plays a lot of good golf. And there's been quite a lot of non-American winners of this tournament of late. It used to be one where Americans dominated, probably because of Tiger sort of skewing that start. But five of the last 11 have been non-Americans. And that kind of makes sense because so many of them have moved into the Orlando region. So Florida, I mean, it's a home event.
Yeah.
It's not more so for maybe the guys who live out in Arizona for some of the Europeans. So I just think that's a really nice price on Graham McDowell. Yes, he's maybe not had his best stuff over the last few years, but he did win as recently as November, won the Mayakoba. I think it was November at the back end of last year. Just a guy who wins a lot. This is a guy who won on his fourth European Tour starts, who's always been good at winning. He's one you like to have on your side if he's up there.
Closed
out the US Open really well when he won that. So sometimes you back a 66 to 1 shot and you think, well, I'll be happy if he scrapes into a place. With him, if he's up there, I'm thinking there's no reason why he's not going to go on to win.
Yeah, I like it. Graham McDowell, Dave's second selection at 66 to 1. Honourable mentions then before we maybe take a look at a couple at the top of the market. I liked a few at big prices here. Jason Kokrak, I like the look of, and he is currently 80-1. He's got that blend of recent form and course form, which I quite like, and this is a track that suits him. Lucas Glover's playing well. You wouldn't necessarily think of him from a win perspective, but he's 80-1 if you're looking for something each way. And the other one at a big price, 150-1, Patrick Rogers. You talk about an attacking golf course, an attacking player that suits this style of track, and he's one of them for me, Rogers. He's only got fifth gear, really, hasn't he? Yeah. I don't think he's learnt to swing within himself yet, Patrick Rogers, but I'm sure he's got an unbelievable career ahead of him, and he's interspersed good finishes with missed cuts recently, but did finish 20th on his debut here last year. So Patrick Rogers is one that I quite like the look of a triple figure price at 150s.
Yeah, some honourable mentions from me. I think you've got to now think of Tyrrell Hatton, not as like a sort of plucky outsider. Go on, my son, well done, aren't you brave? He's a genuinely top-class player, isn't he? 10th in Mexico, 4th in the Honda on his only ever start in Florida. Top 10 in the last two majors of 2016. He's a proper bona fide excellent player, 40-1. I think that could look big.
Yeah, he's still not maybe getting the respect he deserves, no. Tyrrell Hatton, in the market. I think he's definitely an unfashionable golfer. Even when he won the Alfred Dunhill Links last season.
He put him up, didn't he?
Yeah, and yeah. He was 80-100-1, and he had that full bank of Links form coming into the event. And obviously in hindsight's a wonderful thing, and that was a massive prize. But I still think you could look back and see him at 40-50-1 and think, wow, this guy's just in absolutely awesome form, and it shows no signs of relenting, really.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he obviously, we know him. He first made his name to us as playing really well in the Middle East. That was when he caught the eye. So he does like kind of these immaculate conditions. So I can see why he maybe does well in Florida. Only a little negative. I read some stuff where he said he struggled chipping out of Bermuda rough.
Right.
Said he didn't quite know if it was going to come out fast or
rough looks pretty thick this week,
yeah,
as well.
So that was maybe a slight negative on him. But the greens, he seems to put them well. So I think he might go well again. Paul Casey was top 10 last year. Seems to be playing a lot of good golf this year. I read some more quotes by him saying he's probably as happy as he's ever been, really. He's set himself like a target to do some big things over the next 4 or 5 years. I think he might go well at Augusta, to be honest. Mm. So this is another course where he could shine. Bigger prices. I did have a look. Well, I had a look at Greg Owen, who famously nearly won this back in the day.
300-1.
Yeah, I think he three-putted from 3 feet at 17. And had he knocked the first one in, he would have gone too clear. Rod Pampling did him in the end. So he's got all this history. He's actually now a member at Bay Hill, so it's not somewhere that he can't look at again. He can clearly go back and enjoy himself. So he's played this course a number of times. He's got some decent recent form as well, actually. So I think that might be a silly price for someone who strong long iron player, which I think is good round this course. So he could go well. You could look at him for first round leader, to be honest. That might be the before the demons set in again.
Yeah, get out there.
Yeah, so he could just flourish on day one. I mean, the other one, and this is slightly sort of cheesy in some ways.
125s, by the way, Greg Owen for first round leader.
The other one, slightly cheesy, is Sam Saunders, Arnold Palmer's grandson. It's a lovely story, but there's some science there as well, because he was the leader at the Genesis Open after round one recently, and he's also six after round one at Pebble Beach. So he's not just got the kind of the fairy tale element. He's someone who's made fast starts in recent times. So Sam Saunders, again, I think it would be too much for him
to win.
Final nine, it'd be just, and even from day two onwards, it might just be people, reminding them of everything. So, but I think day one, it's kind of a free hit, isn't it? So I think just as a cheeky outsider, I'm actually going to have half a point each way on him being first round.
Hey, 125-1. Okay, yeah. Sam Saunders.
In honour of Arnie.
125-1. Let's chat about a couple at the top of the betting. Rory McIlroy, you said the price you thought was too short.
I think that was too short to me. I think he's still just sharpening up after his long layoff.
Henrik Stenson.
I think he'll go great, yeah.
Do you?
I'm close to put... I mean, how can you not think he will go great?
I was...
Four top tens in his last four starts.
Unimpressed with him last week.
And yet he came seventh.
Yeah, I was genuinely... I thought after that first round, that's an event that he should have in his grip. He should have been out, away and gone, in my opinion, after that second round, given he shot 64 in the first round. And yeah, I was a bit disappointed with him last week. I know that all the stats suggest he should perform this week, should finish inside the top five, inside the top 10. I think he might flop. I'm putting my neck on the block here. I think Henrik Stenson might flop this week. I thought his game wasn't very sharp last week, so we'll see.
Right. It's just, well, the other side of that is he still comes seventh when he's not playing well.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm going to be right, but I didn't think his game was that sharp last week. So okay. After that first round anyway. Would you think 4-5 then top 10 finish?
I think that's okay, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've not put him up to win. I've put up some short price.
He's been really well back to win, hasn't he, to be fair? He was 10-1 when the market opened, and he's into 8s now.
I think maybe at the back of my mind, I am agreeing with you slightly. I don't think he's ultra-sharp enough to maybe win this, but I think he should be up there again.
Oh, his record's amazing, isn't it, at Bear Hill?
Yeah.
It really is an astonishing record, really. Top 15 last 5 starts.
And he's yet another who lives right by the course.
Yeah, I think he's he placed the last 3 years as well?
4 years, I think. Top 10. Well,
I think he's top 10 the last 4 and placed the last 3, I think.
That's right, 3-2-5 last 3 times.
Yeah, so Matsuyama, Day, Fowler.
All could be up there. You can't really, I don't think it's hard to, I mean, Day maybe, because you never know whether he's going to, I don't know, start sneezing or something, or pull a muscle in his back, or I don't know. It seems to be he's done nothing this year, but he was top 5 at Pebble Beach 2 starts ago, so you can't rule him out. And he's won his last 2 starts in Florida, which again, this used to be a part of the world where he didn't do so well, so he's got that going for him. I'm happy to leave him at 14s this week. Matsuyama didn't look great on the range, apparently, in Mexico, but fought back on the weekend, shot 66 Saturday. But maybe, again, he's not at his very best on Florida courses. Fowler, though, I think he might go really well.
Yeah.
He would be, of those top half dozen, I like Rose and I like Stenson, but Fowler would be the other one.
Okay.
I'd be close to putting up, because he went in the water, didn't he? He was going head-to-head in 2013 which seems not long ago, and yet that's when Tiger was winning 5 times on the PGA Tour in 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Tiger's sort of gradually just gone at the game, but he had that big year, didn't he, in 2013?
Year. Big year.
When it was, you know, too much for Fowler, still all this dominant force, I can't beat him, and Fowler went in the water. But Fowler won the last event in Florida, yeah, I think he'll go well.
Okay. Who's the player you don't want to win then, final question?
Let's go with Fowler then.
I would have said Rose if you hadn't picked him, so I'm definitely going to be cheering Rose on this week. I'll go Tony Finau, a man that we've not mentioned at 40-1, because I think this setup's absolutely ideal for him, and he's playing well at the moment. So Tony Finau, a guy that I didn't mention earlier, maybe as a player I don't want to win at 40s.
I don't think he puts well on Bermuda.
No. Oh, right, okay.
I might have made that up, but I've got a feeling I think that's what, there's something putting me off him, and I think that might be it. But yeah, he's a interesting player. Him, I think he'll pop up in a major or two this year.
Yeah, I do again. As well. Yeah, because he's got that length off the tee, and he generally does putt well. That's one of his strengths, isn't it? His putting.
And I like his temperament as well.
Yeah. Okay, Dave. Thank you for your company.
Thank you.
I just recap your selections very quickly.
Yes. So I will go for, well, he's 18-1, a point and a half each way. Justin Rose at 18s. And a point each way, Graham McDowell at 66. And then in the first round leader market, half a point each way on Sam Saunders at 125.
I'll go a point each way, Jamie Lovemark, as my sole selection at 80-1 this week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for your company on this podcast. We'll be back next week, myself and Dave. And don't forget to check out Mike's Twitter as well. He said he might, if he gets a chance to study the event, have a couple of bets. So he'll be tweeting those out at mgrenham. My Twitter handle @dkellner, and Dave's is @DaveTyndallGolf. Thank you for your company. Get your bets on by 11:35 a.m. pre-tournament on Thursday for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And we'll be back with more golfing chat next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.